from somewhere deep below the earth. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
And we're going to take your calls. Lloyd Auerbach, our guest, back in a moment. A ghost hunter. Lloyd, you're also a psychic entertainer as well.
That's correct.
Now tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when I was at graduate school, we were given a course in understanding how researchers could be fooled by magic and by mentalism and psychic entertainment. I got so intrigued and interested in it that I ended up performing as a magician and mentalist and eventually worked my way just mainly into doing psychic entertainment. It's a real fun thing to perform for folks with a psychic theme to it, paranormal theme. So I'm able to incorporate what I know from parapsychology into a bit of entertainment for folks. And it's very interactive. Do a little mind reading, a little predicting. You know, it's all for fun. And occasionally I get little flashes of things that pop into my consciousness, too.
Are you like Amazing Randy?
Am I like Amazing Randy?
Yeah.
I don't know that Randy's performed at all other than in his lectures in the last 20-some-odd years.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time he actually performed. I'm more like in the Kreskin, Mark Salem category of performers.
Okay, very good. You ready for some calls?
Sure am.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with Lloyd Auerbach on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hey,
this is Montine calling from FM 105.3.
Sure, down in Atlanta.
Yeah. You're doing a great job, by the way.
Well, thanks.
let me preface this by saying that my dad has been dead for 7 years, and it seems like I talk to him more now that he's dead than when he was alive. Now, he doesn't answer back, but I had a really interesting thing happen. I've got a kind of an unusual job in that I run an animal charity here in Atlanta caring for birds of prey, like hawks and owls, and we had a magazine article done, and it got a lot of press, and this guy called and he wanted to come out and visit. Well, I live alone and I'm kind of isolated, and I told him I'd better think about it for a while. So, you know, I was talking to Daddy while I was out doing some gardening, and a couple of weeks goes by, and the guy calls back, and I said, yeah, I think it'll be okay. So anyway, the guy comes out, turns out he's a falconer as well, and we had, you know, he spent a couple of hours out here, and we were chit-chatting, and he met all the birds and stuff, and actually he brought a friend with him as well. So it was towards the end of the day, we were saying our goodbyes, we were standing in sort of a tight circle in the driveway, and I have my auger buzzard, which buzzards are hawks, by the way, they're not vultures. My auger buzzard was on my fist, and all of a sudden, she almost comes off my fist looking around behind this guy. She sees something. And then all of a sudden, he grabs his, you know, when a dog comes up behind you, and the reference is called cold nose, this guy grabs his back in, and he jumps through the circle, and he says, I've just been cold-nosed by a golden retriever. And I just went, oh, my gosh, that must be Sandy. And he said, well, where'd she go? I said, well, that was our dog. She died 10 days before Daddy did.
Oh, my.
Very strange. These two guys jumped in their car, sped off, and I never heard from them again.
That's a great experience.
Yeah,
I'm sorry he didn't,
awesome.
He didn't talk to you again, but that's a really good experience.
I've never really gotten any feeling or any smell or anything, but I've been essentially saved from three potentially fatal yard accidents while I've lived here in this house for the last 7 years. You know, just defying gravity when I should have fallen off the roof,
mm-hmm.
and you know, impaling myself on a garden stake that you know. Very strange goings on, and now I know it doesn't scare me anymore. Now I just know that Daddy's around and he's, you know, trying to help me out.
That's great. That's great. And obviously your dog is too.
Appreciate your call. Exactly. Have you come across spirit animals?
Yeah, there are reports of animals actually popping up after their death. You know, sometimes they are imprints. People get the sense of the cat having been in a house. But I had one, a real interesting story told me by the producer, by a producer of the Joan Rivers Show. A good friend of his was in a car accident with his dog, and he was trapped under the car, told, you know, as with TV dogs, you tell a dog to go get help. He thoughtlessly did that. An hour later, he was some people came down off the road and said that they were stopped by a German Shepherd barking on the road. And when they moved the car off of him around so they could get him out, it turned out the dog was crushed into the car.
Oh, my.
The German Shepherd they saw on the road had led them down to this car and then disappeared. And it may have been the ghost of the dog that saved his master.
You know, in that movie, so why is it always Hollywood changes things? Remember The Omen? They had that Rottweiler always hanging around?
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since then, I've looked at Rottweilers that are pretty nice dogs, tough, no doubt. But, I mean, I've always looked at them with a little eerie eye now.
Yeah, I figure that if, you know, murderers don't hang around, probably Nazi dogs don't either.
You got that right. Next up, let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Calgary, Alberta.
Well, hello, sir. Go ahead.
And I really enjoy your conversation with George tonight.
Thank you very much.
And the two questions, actually is two and a half questions, and then I'll hang up and let you answer. The one is, in your business, and you've been at it a long time and you know, good at it and proven different elements. And would you have a problem with these self-acclaimed people that say, like, they're basically ghostbusters, or they, like, they're looking for, they're claiming that what you do is they try to prove against it or they're negative about it.
Talking about the debunkers.
Yeah, and how you handle them, and the question to George is, does he have the same problem? Because I enjoy both shows and you know, your line of work, and I just was curious how you handle them. I'll let it go. And George, do you really live in a bunker?
A cave, not a bunker, a cave.
Well, I'll let you answer my question. I'll hang up now. And thanks again, and I'll continue listening to the show here.
Okay, I appreciate your call. I don't know about you, Lloyd, but I enjoy talking to skeptics and debunkers because it's a different perspective, it's a different view, mm-hmm. and though I don't necessarily have to agree with what they believe or subscribe to, nor do they have to believe me, at least I think it's healthy.
Yeah, and actually, you know, skepticism actually is a healthy thing. That puts you kind of in the middle of the road as almost an agnostic. And I have very good friends who are debunkers who just simply disbelieve. In fact, my Uncle Herb, growing up, and even to this day, I don't think he believes anything that I'm studying. He was a radio announcer himself, a newscaster in New York, but he defends my right to study it. It's about people respecting other people's perspectives. And the folks who consider themselves skeptics who are really debunkers, and I get along probably best because they know that I'm asking questions, because they know that I don't just simply accept things on faith, even though some of them are accepting things from science, mainstream science, on faith themselves.
Okay, next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Go ahead, Steve. Plug that one up for us. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi there.
Yeah, go ahead. Where are you calling from?
Amarillo.
Go ahead.
Amarillo, I'm Susan. I've enjoyed your show tonight. I have a question. We've had some phenomena around our house. Doors rattling, the locks will lock by themselves, lock us out of the house. My husband has seen a dark shadow. He calls it a presence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very metaphysical. He sages when he sees this dark presence or feels it.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, a couple years now.
And how long have you lived in the house?
5 years.
Was there anything going on at the time this first started?
My daughter moved in with us.
And she's still living with you?
No, she's not. She's not. She's not, but I also at work, I have noticed that when I get upset with my boss, things start going wrong.
Okay.
The big machinery.
Have you noticed that when things are happening in your house, that this is when you're upset with somebody?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. It's possible, although, you know, there have to be a lot more questions asked here, but it's possible that you are causing these things to happen unconsciously. It's kind of a way of letting off your stress.
Is it like the presence is more like a dark thought form?
Yeah, think of it that way, that it's possible it's coming out of you. Now we'd have to really, you know, talk a little bit more about what's going on and what's been going on. But if things are happening around you also at work, especially when you're feeling upset, and that's a good possibility. So one of the things I would suggest is that when you do feel upset and you do notice things happening, that you try to consciously direct them. In other words, if a particular piece of machinery is starting to break down or starting to be affected, shift your attention to, let's say, a cup or a pencil and see if you can consciously make it move.
Okay.
Nothing may happen. So don't assume that something is going to fly off the table. But by changing that attention and by creating conscious attention, if it is coming from you, it'll stop.
Okay.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for your call. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yes.
I had three things I wanted to talk about. First, the comment about the Amityville horror. I don't know what you guys said, but my research showed that was an actual hoax. I read somewhere that an investigation proved that over too much wine, the Lutzes were persuaded by someone as a money-making venture to do that.
That's correct.
I had two questions. First of all, I attended a lecture of a man named Peter Jordan 2.5 years ago in my college, and he told a lot of fantastic tales about, I mean, he was all over the place. He was talking about orbs, and then he discussed spontaneous human combustion, and then he referred us to a Unsolved Mysteries clip where he talked about Telly Savalas' big black car story. And our professor attended the lecture as well, and then he found out that he did not represent the agency that he claimed to. And I was wondering if Mr. or is it Dr. Auerbach could tell me if he's a respected member of the community. I don't know how the parapsychological community works, if it's small and tight-knit, if you all know each other.
Well, I actually know Pete. My question would be what agency he said he represented, because Pete has been around. In fact, Peter is one of the people who found out, who started off the hoax issue. He's the one who uncovered some of the facts of the case for Amityville to begin with. You know, those college lectures, and I'm on the college lecture circuit. In fact, we have the same lecture agent. When people bring us in, people want entertainment, and I can't vouch for every story Peter tells as to whether they're all based in fact in that sense. You know, the college students just want good entertainment for this. So even when I'm telling my stories, and all of mine are the stories that I tell when I do my ghost stories lecture, are in fact based on real cases, I got to, you know, throw in a little humor. I've got to be a little more personable than I would if I was, just say, telling the story to somebody one-on-one.
Oh, sure you do. You have to do that. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
Hi. My name is Diane. I'm from Forest Lake, Minnesota.
Sure.
And I was born with my ear like a double lobe. It split, and my mom told me that I inherited it from my grandpa. And my mom was pregnant with me. One night she woke up in the middle of the night, and she saw her dad sitting at the foot of her bed, and she found out the next day that he had died that night. And years later, mom told the story of when grandma and grandpa were running moonshine up in the Rocky Mountains, they got in an accident, and grandma had to literally sew his ear back on, and that's why he had a double lobe. And I thought, Mom, how could I inherit that? And she says that she feels that he touched me that night.
Touched you that night that you were born?
Well, she was about 5 or 6 months pregnant
when
she saw him.
Well, you know, there are cases with situations like this and even reincarnation cases where something that happened to the person before or at the time of death actually translates into a birthmark or some other physical anomaly on the next generation, so to speak. The University of Virginia actually has a number of those on record.
I've heard about that, where they actually do, you know, if a person had like a birthmark on his face, maybe the reincarnated version, he has one too.
That's right, or someone who dies in an accident, or, for example, there was someone who died in a hanging, strangulation, has a birthmark around their throat that looks like a rope.
Yeah, and I heard, I guess in Africa, there's a people that if their child dies, they split their ear. And so the next child, if they have another child with a, that's born like that, they know that their first child came back again.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of weirded me out, thinking I could be reincarnated for my grandpa.
Or just having been influenced by him also.
Yeah, maybe.
Kind of a leftover, just something that was left for you, so to speak. Legacy.
Oh, that's cool.
All right, good. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I wonder what a split earlobe like that is. I guess it's just one earlobe.
I can't quite visualize that, yeah.
West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George.
Hello.
Hi, and hi, Lloyd.
Hi there.
Hi. My question to you is, I have so many paranormal... The problem with this show, George, is that I have been swarmed with paranormal since I was a little kid to the point where it's an everyday experience, so I'm not even going to pick one of those. What I'm going to tell you is that I went into psychology. I graduated in 1993 from Northern Arizona University with a BA in psychology, and I haven't been able to break into the next level. I mean, you're saying you investigate and you're doing entertainment. I don't know where exactly to go from here because I'm very clairvoyant. A lot of my stuff is very visual and also, well, really all this sensory, everything, not so much telekinetic. Like when people hand me a ring, I don't necessarily get a lot from it or something. But I'm starting to hear audio messages now for the first time, so it's expanding. It's actually... I've meditated most of my life, but it's expanding. But my question is, can you, I want to do more with this. I'm very good at finding things. I want to find lost children. I want to work with the police. I want to put this to use, and I'm not finding the right door. I'm knocking on doors,
It's often hard to find someone to work with to actually put the ability to use. And actually the thing I always tell people when they ask me about a psychic and whether psychic's good is the information useful? Because it doesn't matter how good the psychic is, if their information is not useful, you know, what good is it?
Exactly.
At that point it becomes entertainment.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only thing I can recommend is if you want to send me an email, I'll be happy to kind of guide you a little bit and see if I can kind of refer you to some other folks. And I can certainly refer you to some suggested reading material.
I would love it if you could connect me any way, any shape.
Sure, I'll do my best.
What's your email there, Lloyd?
My email is, and for folks listening, it's also on my website, but the email is ESPER, as in extrasensory perception, so ESPER, @California.com, and California is spelled all the way completely out.
Oh, okay.
That's easy enough.
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Nancy.
Well, thank you again. I love your show, as usual. God bless you both.
Thanks.
Okay,
all
good right, luck bye-bye. To you. I guess, Lloyd, there would be a lot of people out there who want to be able to use this God-given talent to some use, to some good. Like in her case, she wants to look for missing children. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty admirable, don't you?
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, the thing you got to know is that you have to be willing as a psychic to ask questions of yourself, because sometimes you get information that's not complete, and if you start making assumptions about it, this is what we've learned in parapsychology, that the information could actually be misleading and can cause a delay for the police. So someone has to actually know how to ask themselves the right questions, and often the people who work best with police are willing to be asked questions of. In other words, are you sure that's what you're getting? Could it actually be something else? So you can't be ego-attached to being right, like so many people on TV often are.
Well, stay with us, Lloyd. We'll be back. We'll take more of your phone calls. Ghosts. You're an interesting ghost investigator, I'll tell you that. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
It's witchcraft.
Reserve your free CD of Art Bell and Malachi Martin when you subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505.
When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one that I'd never switch. 'Cause there's no nicer witch than you.
Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, one of the shows you've been waiting for, the Roundtable Discussion Part 2, three guests, all at the same time, Stan Dale, John Rappaport, Michael Rupert, as we talk more about some secret societies and just what's happening on this planet, the push for one world government and issues like that. June 18th, that's the last day for the free CD. The interview with Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms, couple ways to get that free CD when you order the After Dark newsletter, call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Lloyd Auerbach, my guest, your phone calls as well. Lloyd, what's next on your plate, on your ghost hunting plate?
Well, we're trying to actually set up a more major investigation of the USS Hornet, since it's kind of a living laboratory with so many apparitions being seen. A number of researchers here in the Bay Area are interested in getting involved in it as well, so we're going to hopefully mount something fairly large in the next couple months. And then whatever kind of comes my way in terms of investigations, I have another book coming out this fall, which is a companion to the ghost hunting book called Hauntings and Poltergeists, more about how parapsychology connects to the experience of ghosts and poltergeists. And I continue teaching classes and plan on actually hopefully doing seminars in other parts of the country as well. It's one of the things that I'm actually kind of working towards at this point.
Have you found that people are just fascinated with ghost stories?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting that I meet people not necessarily who are coming to paranormal events, but just at parties and other things. And when they hear what I do, everybody's got a ghost story. And I've talked to people who are lawyers, corporate executives. You know, I always like to ask them if they've ever told the story to anyone. And generally, other than a spouse, perhaps, they haven't told anyone. And it's always interesting to be at a party and have almost everyone separately tell me a ghost story when the rest of the people at the party don't know that all these people have one thing in common. They've all seen a ghost.
Yeah, they are. It's almost like a campfire story, isn't
it? Oh, it is.
Lloyd?
It is. Absolutely.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us with Lloyd Auerbach. Hi there. Oh, is there anybody there? No, there's not. First time caller line. Go ahead. There you go.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Wonderful. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Richard. I'm listening on 560 AM. WGAN, out of Portland, Maine. Love the show. Long time, first time. More trucker music in the bumper music.
We'll do that for you, Richard. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. Well, I seem to be a ghost dampener or something. A friend of mine, very sensitive. I mean, he sees ghosts all over the place and all the time. I was over to his house, and Charlie lives up in his attic. And I said, well, I want to meet Charlie. So I went up and, you know, I walked into the attic and, I mean, didn't see nothing. And I'm trying to talk to him. I'm not going to hurt you or anything like that. Nothing. So I left, and he had stayed outside of the door. We went back down. We were talking about it. He goes, oh, yeah, as soon as you walked in, he went way over in the furthest corner away from you and stayed there.
He didn't want anything to do with you, huh?
No, he may have been afraid.
And I mean, it's weird. It, you know, with this friend of mine, when he has a dream or something, and he can tell when it's one that's, like, going to happen or something, if he doesn't want it to happen, he tells me about it, and it doesn't happen.
Lloyd, what would the ghost be afraid of?
Well, you know, sometimes people put out energy, and it's possible that he was putting out an energy the ghost felt allergic to, or just was simply afraid of making his presence known to other people.
That's a neat story.
Yeah, it happens, and it sounds like he's also dampening the other person's psychic abilities, and think of it as a psychic vampire who's kind of keeping psychic things from happening.
All right, let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Robert in Omaha on KFAB.
Hello, Robert.
How are you, sir?
Good.
I think I can shed some light on this Amityville situation.
Sure,
what happened, to my understanding, is that they had hired a lawyer to help them with the legal processing of getting the book published. Then when the book became this huge hit, this lawyer suddenly demanded a huge percentage of the rights of the profits from the book. And when the Lutzes refused to give it to him, he said, okay, fine, I'm going to muddy the water, so I'm going to spread this story that this whole thing was just a hoax.
Well, actually, William Weber, who was an attorney involved in the sale of the house, he was not involved in the book sale whatsoever, and he was the person who admitted, who said that this is where the story came from, but all the evidence that the Lutzes talk about, and even the witnesses that are talked about within the Amityville book, none of that stuff checks out. You know, one of the key elements of the book was that they supposedly saw a demonic face during the light of the full moon. They weren't even living in the house when there was a full moon. So it was a variety of a lot of little things. And you should know that the family that moved in after the Lutzes had no experiences whatsoever. Now, granted, that house was the site of a murder, but there was no Indian burial site under there. The local archaeologists and local historians said that the thing that was published in the book that they had found, that the Shinnecock Indians had a burial site in their a graveyard, not true. So there are so many inconsistencies, and so many inconsistencies in the experiences that were reported, and that no one else had had any experience, that it just didn't make any sense. And the fact that they had a book contract pretty much at the same time they were calling in investigators was also pretty telling.
Now that kind of taints it just a bit, doesn't it?
More than just a bit, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Robert, appreciate your call as well. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
We are
very
well.
Good.
Thanks.
Excellent. I've got a kind of a cute little ghost story, I guess you would call it. I'm a retired Marine. My wife and I have been married for 25 years, and we've raised English Bulldogs. And at the time, I was in the Balkans, came home on leave, and I just had this overpowering feeling that I was not going to see my dog again. And so I spent a lot of extra time with her, and then I went back overseas. And she had a habit, when she had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, she would either bump the side of the bed, or if your hand or leg was hanging off the edge, she would bump your foot or your hand. Well, I'm laying there in my cot, and boom, my hand flies up. Just out of reaction, I jump out of bed to take the dog potty, and I realize where I'm at. I get a call from my wife the next day, and at about the same time that this happened, my dog had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of another neat little connecting story is we now have the grandson of that dog, and these are the only two dogs that have had that same behavior. If they got to go to the bathroom, they either bump the bed or bump your hand. I just thought that was kind of a neat little story.
Thank you. Great story.
All right.
Yeah.
Take care.
And again, people are connected.
Well, and it falls into the majority of ghost cases. Actually, ghost stories happen when a friend or relative dies within typically 24 to 48 hours, sometimes as much as a week. that friend or relative comes to say goodbye, and it takes different forms. It could happen in a dream. It could be that you see the first person, you feel something, and there's no reason why pets don't do that, too.
Indeed. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You should be on the air with us here. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Brian. I'm from Kentucky. I want to know, my wife can see things and hear things that I can't. Is it, I mean, do, you know, different people react different ways to things that are going on?
Yeah, people pick up different things psychically, and we all have different ways of noticing what's happening to be psychic. One of the things that's important, though, is, and something that psychics learn, is that sometimes you pick up things from the environment that are not ghosts. And people often will see a figure and assume automatically it's a ghost when, in fact, it may be an impression of someone who was in that location before. So people pick up different things. They process it differently. Like as I mentioned earlier in the show, I don't see ghosts. I feel things from time to time. And not everybody picks this up at all because we just don't notice it.
I heard a great story months ago, Lloyd, from an EMS attendant. The technician goes to a house call, opens the door, an old man lets him in. They see the body of an old man. They pick him up, take him, put him on the gurney, put him in the ambulance, go back to talk to the old man, let him in. They realize that it was the old man they picked up.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
That's pretty cool. And sure not is. Unheard of.
No, and not unheard of at all. Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Janine. I'm from Reno.
Uh-huh.
And I have a question. I don't know if we've got something going on in our house or not, but one time my husband felt somebody pull on the back of his shirt. Of course, there was nobody there. It's just the two of us live in our house. And in our bedroom, every once in a while, it feels like somebody's bumping our bed. And then I also found my closet door open, which I've never opened. How do I go about investigating what's going on in my house?
Well, you want to take a look at all the physical possibilities in the house. And, you know, there are some tips that I can kind of, that are up on my website on how to do basic investigations in the Fate magazine articles that are there, as well as in a couple other spots on my website. And you're always welcome to contact me for some other tips on what to look for.
Okay, because I have said it might be one of our dogs that's passed away that used to jump on the bed but would bounce on the hit the mm-hmm. side of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hunch that's what it might be.
And then, and your hunch may very well be correct in this instance. It's always good
Great.
To go with your hunches, too.
Thanks.
Sure.
What is it, Lloyd, about closets?
It's a closed space and it's dark. I think that's more than anything else. It's our fear of the dark. I mean, we have a primordial fear of things out of range of the light at night because there are predators out there. So
you know,
look for them.
People have reported seeing lights in closets, too. So what's all about that?
Well, sometimes, you know, one of the things that you got to realize is that when you close your eyes tightly in the dark, for example, and you open your eyes quickly, you will see spots of light. That's a physiological thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And when we are in that state of between sleep and wakefulness, in other words, as we're falling asleep and as we're waking up, the hypnagogic state, we often have things spilling over from our unconscious mind. It's when we actually have a lot of visuals happening and even some auditory things. And it's a point where people actually have a lot of out-of-body experiences also. People are often psychic in this point, but it's a mixture of things. So it's always a little tough to say exactly what's going on and when people are in that state.
First-time caller line, your turn. You're on the air with us right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I actually had a couple of questions. My parents' house seems to have some type of entities, and I can feel it really strongly when I'm there alone, usually late at night. Sometimes I've even heard things, and in the attic, there'll be, like, sometimes chains, and then in the kitchen, there'll be, like, walking, and the cabinets will close. And when my little brother, he's now 18, but when he was about 4, he would actually see someone and telling him to come here. But how do you go about actually getting rid of them or telling them to go away?
Well, first of all, you have to determine what's actually going on. It's very possible that what you're experiencing... first of all, I should ask how old the house is.
Well, we've been living there for the last 17 years, but it's been there for quite some time, over 30-something years.
Okay, and it's entirely possible that what's being experienced is an imprint. Think of it as a recording of the people who used to live in the house.
Mm-hmm.
In that instance, there are a variety of ways you can deal with it, the thing to know is that it's just a recording, so it's kind of background noise, like road noise. You have to get used to it as one way, but there are things you can do, even just simple as in the spots where you're experiencing things or hearing things coming from, just placing magnets down on the floor. You know, the kind of magnets you just buy at Radio Shack or someplace like that can sometimes help. If it's something intelligent or someone intelligent, you know, the way to deal with it is to try to communicate, is to try to ask what he or she is there, and the important question is, what can I do for you? That's the question that people never think to ask a ghost, and sometimes it's just as simply as the ghost wanting to know that people can see him or her. Other times, it's just a matter of delivering a message, or maybe it's the person wants to hang around because they're comfortable in the house, but you can typically reason with them at that point.
Okay. At one point, it seemed like they might have been upset, because that's when we started hearing the chains, and then we even had somebody come in and pray, and we've done, like, all kinds of stuff.
Well, the thing that's important is to make sure that for every individual thing that you have, you know, even though you may have seen a ghost, your brother saw a ghost, every individual incident should be looked for an explanation. So the chain sounds may come from the house settling or something else, whereas you have a real ghost in the house. So it's important not just to look at whether you have a ghost, but what each individual thing relates to, whether it relates to the ghost or something else.
Okay.
All right, very good. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Lloyd, you know, remember the movie Poltergeist, which you think was overdone? But
well,
it was a fun movie,
I think.
Oh, of course it was. Yeah. But you remember the small lady who kept trying to get these spirits to cross over? Yeah. I mean, what do you think? Is that real? I mean, do you have people who try to assist these ghosts to realize, hey, you know, move on?
Yeah, it's sometimes it's a matter of counseling the ghosts. You know, fortunately, you don't need a license to counsel somebody who's dead.
Well, that's
as a therapist, but it helps if you have some therapy background as well. It really is about talking to them, and you know, sometimes they don't know that they're dead, and most of the time they do know that they're dead, but they have a particular reason, and it's usually fear. They're often afraid because they don't know what's out there. They don't know what's on the other side, since nobody's been able to give them a good answer at that point. And fear sometimes keeps them here as much as anything else.
Let's go west of the Rockies. It's your turn, and maybe our final caller will find out. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, I have a couple of things. One is a question for Lloyd. A few years ago, I was watching on Solved Mysteries, and Moss Beach was actually on there.
Yes.
And they had mentioned a second ghost, or a spirit, whichever you choose to use, about a lady, she was also in blue, who had died in a car accident not far from there.
Yeah, she was actually a lady in white, and there was a car accident on the roadway about a mile or so from the distillery back in around 1919. And some people have said that that's who the ghost is, but that's not what the evidence seems to indicate, since the restaurant wasn't even built at that time. However, people have occasionally seen a ghost on the road, and that may be who that ghost is.
Okay, and the other thing is I've had my experiences with the other side. A few years ago, my neighbor died of cancer, and I had bought my mom this door knocker that goes, come in if you dare, and the batteries were dead in it. And before he died, he would come in and he would play it all the time. Well, one night we were watching David Copperfield on the TV, and I'll swear to it that it was him that came in and actually pushed that button, because ever since then, that single item, the batteries will not die.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a positive experience, actually.
Yeah, it was, and all I told him was go home. And I have one other question. Do you ever take people along on, like, the things to the Moss Beach or anything like that?
To the public places, we do that, yes. That's one of the things I'm working out with my classes here in the Bay Area. The private cases, people need to be more trained for that. But even so, people have taken a few of my classes have actually gone on investigations with me.
Very good. And if you want more information, I assume you just go to your website,
so,
right?
Mindreader.com, right. And I should mention that Fate Magazine also offers a free issue if people go to their website through mine or just the FateMag.com.
Always in the mood for something free, Lloyd. Appreciate it. Hey, thanks, Lloyd. Keep us up to date on your investigations, will you? For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Barbara Simpson, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition with another roundtable discussion. Until then, be safe, everyone.